We've got details on the world's biggest listing in years and why Turkey is teetering on an economic ledge. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Higher than expected inflation figures in Turkey today stoked worries about whether the nation's economy is overheating. Earlier this week, ratings agency S&P cut the country's credit rating further into junk. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
At a rate of 7.4%, Turkey was the fastest-growing G20 economy in 2017. And according to forecasts, the International Monetary Fund expects robust growth of more than 4% in 2018. Helping the growth rate is fiscal stimulus the government continues to pour on the already hot economy. And that's pushing inflation above 10%. In fact, higher-than-expected inflation figures for April, released today, steepened a decline in the lira, the country's currency, to nearly 10% against the U.S. dollar. It's a new record low. So, how did we get here? Piotr Mattis, emerging markets foreign exchange strategist at Rabobank, says a failed coup to overthrow the government in 2016 prompted a slew of government actions that have helped create a perfect economic storm for the country.
One of the main tools that they used was credit scheme guarantee that fueled domestic consumption and investment, and that resulted in quite spectacular growth.
The red-hot growth and quickly rising inflation pushed the central bank to raise rates much more quickly than expected last month. But is it too little too late?
The central bank has been criticized by foreign investors for not raising interest rates fast enough, but the main objective of the governing AKP party is to maintain robust growth. So basically, whenever the central bank signaled its intention to raise interest rates, there was a strong pushback from the government.
Mr. Erdogan's call to move elections up by more than a year has actually given the bank more room to maneuver. That's because there's less of a fear any action will slow the economy as voters head to ballot boxes.
The bias is still firmly skewed in favor of more hikes to stabilize the lira and to bring inflation lower.
More rate rises, coupled with the potential for more stability after an Erdogan win in June, could revive investor confidence. Until then, Mr. Mattis says expect more volatility in the country's currency until the president's planned economic reforms are officially unveiled. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower as focus returns to corporate earnings. Investors are eyeing trade talks in Beijing between the U.S. and China. The BBC has learned imports and exports of Ford vehicles at Tianjin are on hold, a move the company linked to the negotiations. Now, the Chinese smartphone giant Xiaomi filed to hold its IPO, the world's biggest since 2014, in Hong Kong. The BBC's Sarah Toms has more.
Xiaomi burst onto the smartphone scene 8 years ago and quickly became known as the Apple of China. At one point, it was considered the world's most valuable company. But in recent years, Xiaomi has struggled as new Chinese rivals like Oppo and Vivo emerge. It swung to a huge loss in 2017, but sales are now rebounding. Smartphone sales are particularly strong in India, where Xiaomi is vying with Samsung for the top spot. Xiaomi's share sale is expected to draw strong demand. In fact, some analysts say Xiaomi's initial public offering could see the business valued around $100 billion. If it is, that would make the company more of a Chinese phoenix, turning around its once ashen fortunes. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Sarah Toms for Marketplace.
Weddings are big business in India. Now, so is divorce, the BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains.
It's wedding season in India, and with a ceremony taking place on virtually every street corner, love is well and truly in the air. But for several years now, times have been changing here. In urban areas like Mumbai, where I am, traditional extended families have given way to nuclear families. More and more women are working, and so are less dependent on their spouses for financial security. And those changes in society have made divorce more common. Vandana Shah is a divorce lawyer practicing in Mumbai.
About 10 years ago, when my divorce case was going on, there were only 20 matters on board in the family court in Mumbai. Today, when you go there, there are 60 to 70 matters on board.
Official figures on divorce rates are hard to come by in India. But one study released in 2016 that examined census data offered some insights. It found that 1.36 million people in India are divorced, just a fraction of India's 1.2 billion people. But that's probably not entirely accurate. Many women don't declare themselves as divorced given the stigma attached to it. To try and help those looking for a way out, Vandana Shah started a free app called Divorce Cart.
You download the app, you ask your questions, you get the correct information.
It costs between $1,300 and $2,700 to hire a mid-level lawyer for the year in India. That's why Vandana has no plans to charge customers. She funds the app herself and pays the lawyers in the back-end office. Vandana isn't the only one tapping into a growing market. Websites such as Legistify, LawRato and MyAdvo offer free information from lawyers. Vandana says even though divorce is still stigmatized in India, it's here to stay.
Saranjana Tiwari, finally, talk about a poker face. A New York author has stopped writing her book about becoming a professional poker player because she's too busy winning. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.